Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday the 13th of August, recording at 9:25 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, remember I mentioned in yesterday's audio the article by Ken Rogoff, or an article published by Bloomberg that was quoting Ken Rogoff. And he was calling for more reflation. He has credibility, as does his colleague, Carmen Reinhart. These are two academic economists, of course, and they wrote the highly regarded book that was published in 2009 called This Time is Different, 8 Centuries of Financial Folly. Well, as I say, they're calling for more reflation. And that has helped the markets in here, I think, over the last couple of days, because there had been some worries about overvaluations, and also we have the uncertainty over when that first tapering is going to occur. But we know it's pretty well certain that the Fed will be tapering rather than increasing the amount of money that it's pumping into the economy. So there we are, and that leads on to the Riverfront, the always interesting Riverfront report, which came in today. And they reviewed their 3 investment rules. And the first of those is don't fight the trend. And they pointed out that Wall Street's trend is still strong and well above its 200-day moving average. And I would just add that, yeah, but it's too far above its 200-day moving average, in my opinion, and it's also looking a little bit tired up here at a time when valuations are high and corporate profits growth is not all that strong. Now, the second of Riverfront's investment rules is don't fight the Fed, and that's the most important one in my opinion. I think that's really good advice, and Fuller Money is always talking about the conditions of monetary policy, and they remain extremely favorable, although, as I mentioned a moment ago, we do know that there will be some tapering of QE commencing possibly next month and almost certainly before the end of the year. Now, that's not the same thing as removing the punch bowl, to coin a phrase. It's not actual tightening. They won't be raising short-term interest rates, but it will possibly cause a little bit of uncertainty. And then the third one is beware of the crowded extremes. And a Riverfront quote some Ned Davis statistical data, which says that the bullish sentiment is moved up to one of its more extreme levels, although it has been higher in the past. So these are little factors here that make me cautious on the U.S. stock market. And I'm quite happy to maintain that position while I still recognize that it is in the overall upward trend, and monetary policy is the most important factor overall. And I'm not looking for any bear market anytime soon. But Riverfront does go on to say that they think we could see a very modest correction before long. They were talking in the 3 to 5%. Category. I think that the risk of a somewhat bigger reaction is not that unlikely. And I would also point out that some of the laggards that normally perform late in a bull market cycle, the cyclical shares, in particular the miners, which had been such disasters, but really are having a good month in August, and putting up some good performance figures, albeit from very, very low levels. And that's typical of tired bull markets, when investors are beginning to move away from the most overvalued shares, or at least they stop buying them, and they're looking for some of the bargains, and those they will find in the depressed cyclicals, again, the miners, and they will also find them in some of the frontier markets, which suddenly start to take off, as we've seen with the Middle Eastern indices that we have posted, particularly Saudi Arabia, Dubai, and Qatar. And we are also seeing other frontier markets in Africa doing quite well in the last two, three months. Okay, so what happened in here today very quickly? Well, it was pretty much all to the upside. Japan had a welcome gain of nearly 2.6% in the Nikkei, and the Hang Seng Index was up 121. Australia was up almost a percentage point. And, well, it was green all the way. Big gains, including a point and a half for India to the upside. And the Philippines, so some of these ASEAN indices had been lagging recently, but Philippines up 1.72 today. So good, strong moves overall. And the European indices, they were a little mixed earlier on, but came on stronger as the day progressed. And they weren't big gains, but remember, Europe had that terrific week last week, and so this is still very steady in here overall. And the FTSE MIB up nearly 0.7 of 1% seems to be the leader here. And in the Americas, Wall Street was down about 60 points in the Dow early on in the day, but then gradually came back and moved up to really reverse that decline and score about 60 points to the upside, and then gave up part of that towards the close. So modest gains on Wall Street, and the S&P is back up to 1694. Best gains, I think, are occurring on the NASDAQ index, which has been quite strong here all along. Canada also showing some gains, Mexico and Brazil. So pretty well everything, as I say, in the green column here today, showing gains. Now, elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, my goodness, the yields pushed higher in here today. And the U.S. 10-year, which had an upside key day reversal yesterday, as did the 30-year. Remember, they've been ranging now for a couple of months. And I think the Fed has been trying to keep those down. And, of course, it is still buying bonds with half of that or nearly half of that $85 billion a month that they've been pumping into the U.S. economy. But the U.S. 10-year was up strongly to 2.71. That's really a test to the upper side of the range from which it's fallen back on a couple of occasions here in recent weeks. And the 30-year yield is up to 3.75. And all of these Western bond market indices really rallied, or yield charts, I'm talking about the yield charts now, they rallied really quite strongly in here today. U.S. dollar was a little bit firmer, and the yen, this is an important one for Japan, it helped today. Remember, the yen had been down at about 96 to the U.S. dollar, and it weakened yesterday, and that helped Japan to get that good rally. And also, it's weaker in here again today, so there are currently, it's weakened to 98.19 yen against the U.S. dollar, and that should help Japan to extend yesterday's small upward dynamic. And in the commodity markets, there's a lot of interesting things going on in here today. Now, remember, precious metals had such a good day yesterday. Well, gold and silver did. I should correct that. Platinum and palladium didn't do much, and they didn't do much in here today either. But gold has given up a little bit of ground here. It's it pulled back to just below 1321. And silver, though, was outperforming here, a little bit firmer at 2142. It had surged up this morning to 2175 and then pulled back. But remember, those had those very strong gains that we saw late last week and yesterday. And that does increase the potential that we have actually seen the lows for these important important precious metals. And that will certainly interest a lot of investors. It's preliminary evidence, but you know, when markets are bottoming out, you know, it doesn't become obvious until you've had a very substantial recovery. But the action favors the bullish view so far here. Although we may well see additional ranging. Now elsewhere, what interesting things have happened? Well, I think that corn. That is certainly down again here today, down to 447. It was twice that high a couple of years ago, so this has been a big move here. I've commented on this almost daily, these markets, but these grains and beans remain soft. Soybeans was up a tiny bit today, but corn, that big drop, and wheat was also lower, and I think that's the lowest wheat's been in at least a year. So far, and keep your fingers crossed because we don't want the world starving, but so far the prospects for a good crop remain quite high. But remember, you need to have favorable weather that carries on into well into the autumn, because it was late planting due to the cold weather, and there is a risk that you get either too wet weather or you start to get sharply colder spells, which would reduce that yield somewhat. And what else to mention in these markets? The price of crude oil, well, it's subsided. It pushed up again from the early hours of trading, but then gave up at least some of those gains. But it's still a little bit too steady here overall. We've got the WTI, that's the West Texas Intermediate, at 106.61. I'd like to see that below $100. And we've got the Brent up to 109.58. Now, you know, we don't want to see that another $10 higher. That'll start to become quite a powerful headwind for stock markets. Fundamentally, I don't think that should happen, but there's a lot of unease. Of course, given the political situations in a number of those Middle Eastern economies. And we need people to do more fracking. I know it's controversial, but we need to see the supplies of energy increasing around the globe. And I think we will. I know we will over the medium term. But I hope it happens soon enough to prevent any kind of energy crunch, which would be the biggest threat to the stock market overall. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.